This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Halfway through our first show of the week, it also happens to be the week that spring is officially ushered in again. Yay. And of course, we're coming off selection shows, both the men and the women, revealing the brackets on Sunday evening. And so now we've got a bracket challenge on the men's side. Now I'm actually thinking maybe we should do one on the women's side with the number of people who are buzzing about the women's NCAA tournament as well. So it's going to be a fun week for college basketball fans. And it's not just the diehards. It's also the casual fans who've been sucked in by some of the stories and by the excitement. That certainly applies with the bandwagon for Iowa women's basketball. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, already sharing the link for our men's After Hours Bracket Challenge. And then on our Facebook page, too. Find our YouTube channel. We've got a brand new video up there as well. And our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Before I introduce our next guest, we've known about her for the last week, but it didn't dawn on me until Sunday. As I was going through my various conversations in the wake of selection show and taping, a little bit like what we do on Radio Row during Super Bowl week, taping interviews when these athletes and coaches are available. So four of them right away in the couple hours after the brackets were revealed. As I was getting ready to talk to our next guest, the recognition that she is the first female that I've ever had on one of my shows here on CBS Sports Radio in the wake of the bracket reveals, in the wake of the selection show. So on Sunday night, Selection Sunday, Iowa coach Lisa Bluder is the first women's coach that we've ever highlighted as part of our big blowout to get you ready for March Madness. That's cool. We've talked about the women's tournament. We've had guests before once we've got into it from the Final Four. Obviously, just had a guest, a reporter from Iowa City, who would talk to us about the atmosphere around Caitlin Clark and the Hawkeyes. But the first time ever I've had a female coach part of our selection Sunday night, and that's a big deal. It's huge, and I hope it begins a trend. That's as much on us as it is on the sport itself and the atmosphere. Well, and you want atmosphere. Everywhere the Hawkeyes go, there's atmosphere.
Lob pass in deep, picked off by Clark. She dribbles it out across the timeline. There it is. Hey, count them up. One, two, three in a row. Iowa Hawkeyes, Big Ten tournament champions.
The call on Learfield IMG from a week ago, it was broadcast live on CBS, first time ever for the Women's Big Ten Championship. And in the wake of that, we see Iowa installed as a number one seed. And it was an honor to talk to Coach Lisa Bluter just a few hours ago. I started with that point. It's the first number one seed for the Hawkeyes since 1992, before you were there, Coach Bluter. In a season full of history and milestones, what does that mean to you?
You know, really, it just means that the nation has respect for our program. It's, to me, it's just a number. Last year, we were a number two seed. We were the national runner-up. So to me, the numbers, you know, are irrelevant. But for status reasons and for recruiting reasons, it's nice to have that number one label.
I can imagine that. And you all knew, of course, that you're Big Ten champs. You're likely to get that respect going back even a week ago. So what's this last week been like for you with no games and maybe a chance to breathe?
Well, that's been exactly what it's been, a time to breathe, which has been so welcomed. I mean, our players were exhausted after playing three games in less than 48 hours, which is unheard of for the Big Ten championship. And they were just exhausted, and our coaching staff was too. So we really needed some time to kind of reset, rest the legs a little bit, and then have some good prep practices to get ready for this NCAA tournament.
Just mentally, what's it been like for your group to go through all the attention, all the extra that comes with being a team in the spotlight?
You know, it's been a blast. I mean, people are like, you know, has it been hard? No, are you kidding? This is what we've been trying to get for years. We've been trying to get people to understand how good our game is. And we've been trying to get these crowds. And when I first came to Iowa, you know, 24 years ago, I walked in with my two assistant coaches and says, wow, can you imagine if we could ever fill this place? And now every single game has been sold out all year. And so, you know, it's a dream, and we're not going to complain about that dream.
Coach Lisa Bluter of Iowa is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I got to tell you, my mom knows very little about sports. I mean, she followed me when I played, and she knows what I do for a living. But she has been texting me almost every time the Iowa women play a game. During the Big Ten championship, going back to the big senior day where Caitlin had another record, my mother is texting me, are you watching? I'm watching. I mean, that's just, in my own world, the impact of what your team has done. Is there any way for you even to summarize the way that this team has impacted not just the sport, but sports in general?
It's hard for me to put my hands around, my mind around all the way. But what I absolutely love is that people have fallen in love with this team. And I think it's because we play a really fun style. I mean, we lead the country in scoring. We lead the country in assists. We lead the country in field goal percentage. So I think we play a really fun style. And I think you can recognize that our kids are having fun out there. They enjoy each other. They, you know, are doing some spectacular things when you're Caitlin Clark that nobody else can do, which is fun to see. But I really think we've brought a lot of joy to people. And as a basketball coach, if I can do that with our team, I mean, that just brings a lot of pleasure to me, that we're providing that for other people.
Did you ever think a women's Big Ten championship game would be on national TV on CBS, broadcast live last week?
And draw, what, 4 million people or something like that?
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's amazing. People are talking about the women's game right now, and I love that. It's like I said, we've worked for this for a long time, so it's very special, and we're gonna take it and try to soak it all in.
And what a game it was. Going into overtime, you all were down double figures in the first half. Caitlin isn't scoring, or the shots aren't there, or they're not dropping. How well she sets up her teammates. Have you seen that part of her game grow over the course of her time at Iowa?
Well, she has, I mean, grown immensely in that area. And the last 2 years, she's led the country in assists as well as points. And so she has understood that she can't do it all. Like when she was in high school, she, you know, tried to do everything herself because she had to. And when she got to college, it took her a little time to understand, oh, I got some pieces around me that, you know, they can pick up some slack for me once in a while. So, you know, when people try to stop her, I just love that other people are stepping up into that spotlight. You know, in that game against Nebraska, Kate Martin and Gabby Marshall's block and Sida Folter's, you know, play all through the tournament was just spectacular.
It also really stands out to me how much they appear to be psyched for Caitlin and happy for Caitlin. Where it doesn't appear as though there's any jealousy or any envy, that instead they're all just so thrilled to be a part of this experience.
That's absolutely right, Amy. I mean, they are, well, first of all, Caitlin is a good teammate. And she always is trying to build her teammates up or credit them for their success. And she wants to share the wealth with them. She wants to share the spotlight with them. And so in return, you know, they're not jealous. They see how hard she works. And they want her to have all these good things happen to her because she's such a fun person to be around.
Coach Lisa Bluder of Iowa is with us here after hours, CBS Sports Radio. A number one seed trying to get back to that Final Four and another shot at a championship. And you said it's fun and you're having a good time, but it can still be a lot in terms of media and just the demands on time. I'm sure social media as well. So have you seen them grow into that?
Well, I try to tell them to avoid social media if they can. Like, I know they have to post. I get that. But I'm like, don't read it. You can post it, but don't read it. And all the comments and such. Now, I don't know how much they heed my advice, but that is my advice to them. Just because there is a lot of haters out there, and you don't want to read that stuff. But with the media, you know, we try to screen as much as we can so that they're not over inundated with requests constantly. And, you know, I think last year's experience really prepared us for this, too. Last year's experience of being in the championship game and all that came with that. And then the return home and then the circuit for Caitlin going around to collect all the awards that she won. I think it prepared us for this situation this year.
What's different about your team now from a year ago, Coach?
We're faster than we were. I will say that. We get up and down the court a lot better. We're a better rebounding team than we were last year. And now, you know, we have some really good experience. I have, you know, three starters in the starting lineup started in the national championship game last night. That's a tremendous experience.
My mom would be upset if I didn't ask about Molly. How's she doing?
I love it. Tell your mom that Molly is doing okay. She's not doing as well as we'd like her to do. We're hoping she's going to be further along right now than she is. I don't know what her status is going to be for this weekend, but she'll be on the bench, headband and all, no matter what.
You're an Iowa lifer. I actually was speaking to a reporter not that long ago, and I asked her why you were the right leader, the right coach for this team and for this time. And she said, because she's Iowa. So what makes Iowa so special when it comes to not just basketball, but women's basketball and that tradition?
You know, Iowa has been always ahead of everybody else as far as basketball. For example, we played basketball in the state in the 1920s. We were having girls basketball in the 1920s and packed stadiums, sold out stadiums in the 60s, 70s to watch girls play basketball. So, you know, when we brought in women's sports here at Iowa 51 years ago, Dr. Christine Grant was our athletic director, and Dr. Grant was a pioneer for women's athletics. She was a campaign for gender equity in Title IX over and over again. So, you know, maybe Title IX wasn't born here in Iowa City, but it sure grew up here. And we are very proud of our heritage that we have with women's rights and women's athletics here at the University of Iowa.
And even thinking back to, we mentioned that other number one seed or the last one in 92, and see Vivian Stringer and what she meant in growing the program as well. And college sports have changed too. Do you ever look around and think, wow, it has grown and changed so dramatically. It's almost hard to keep up sometimes.
It is hard to keep up, and I'm so thankful that Coach Stringer was here because she really put, you know, Iowa on the map. She wasn't the first coach here. She was the third coach here, but certainly she was the first coach that got resources here, and she did such a marvelous job, and, you know, we're friends to this day, and I'm so thankful for the start that she gave to this program, and I know, like, you know, back then everybody thought, you know, Iowa was drawing these great crowds, and they were back then, but I look back at those numbers and they were like 7,000, 8,000. So, I mean, women's basketball just nationally has just exploded, and it's just fun to be on this side of it.
I'm going to say we, because I played college basketball too. How do we keep that going? How do we continue with the momentum to the point where this isn't a flash in the pan? This is people really understanding why women's basketball is special in its own right.
Well, I think, for example, Amy, you said I was the first female coach you've ever had on the show. Well, there you go, right there. Like, we need to keep having exposure, whether it's television, whether it's radio, whether it's newsprint. It, you know, the exposure is what gets people's attention. If they don't know about you, you could have the best product out there, but if they don't know about you, they're not going to be able to talk about you or see you. And so the exposure has grown for women's athletics. And with it, along has come the attendance. I really believe that we have a great product and we need to be able to showcase it.
Mm. What does a Final Four do for a program when you get to one and you have all the attention and the nationally televised games? How has life changed for you as a coach after a Final Four?
You know, it hasn't changed a whole lot. You know, it really has another day. I might get a few dinners bought for me downtown, but, you know, other than that, it hasn't changed a whole lot. Still the same old coaching staff as we always were.
Well, the challenge, obviously, is that you're not going to catch anyone by surprise, right? Everyone knows who you are and what Caitlin and your group brings to the table. I just love that the girls continue to talk about wanting to be national champs. It's not just about the attention or about the, you know, Caitlin's records. It's also about winning. Where do you get to the place, or what does it look like, Coach, when you're playing your best basketball?
That's beautiful. Like, I always tell the team, like, it's like a dance. And I know that sounds kind of corny, but to me it is. It's like a synchronized dance. Like, when we're all moving and the spacing on the floor is perfect and we're passing the ball and for wide open shots, to me it's just a beautiful dance. And that's, you know, and like you said, you know, everybody's kind of got our, like, circled us on the calendar. We've played in so many intense environments all year this year. I do think we are prepared for the NCAA tournament more so than in the past, just because of the environments that we've played in.
Are you expecting your fans to travel well?
If there's tickets to be bought in Albany, they'll be there. I know they will. But we had 17,000 come up to Minneapolis last weekend, you know, to watch us play up there. I just believe that if there's tickets in Albany, and if we can get by these two games, and those are two big ifs, right? I mean, West Virginia, Princeton are going to be a great 8-9 matchup. Then they'll be there.
It is kind of fun, though, to know that your team has become one for which fans are jumping on the bandwagon, right? Like, that's how you know you've transcended your sport, your state. People are rooting for you all over the country that never knew anything about you until a couple years ago.
Yeah, I mean, we go now, you know, on the road, and people in Ohio State gear are got Caitlin Clark signs. And, you know, people are waiting all over the country to see her play. I mean, they may not be Iowa fans, but they might be Caitlin Clark fans, and we'll take it, because then they're coming to watch our game, and that's good for the opponent, and it's good for us too. So we'll take it no matter how we get them.
Coach Lisa Bluder, it's such an honor to have you on the show. As you said, and as I told you, first ever female coach that I've had on a Selection Sunday night. My mom's a big fan, so thank you for what you've done for women's basketball and for a few minutes tonight.
Tell your mom I'm her fan, too. I'm a big fan of her, and tell her go Hawks, and Molly's going to be okay.
How great is that? Absolutely love it. And if we had to start somewhere, we did, with a female coach, first time ever on our Selection Sunday night show, well, then she was the perfect coach to bust through that glass ceiling. Her enthusiasm off the charts. I don't know if it's adrenaline, but it sounds like she's much more well rested. I know her voice is still feeling the impacts of a season spent yelling and obviously doing a lot of interviews. And she is fiery. She fights for her team. She fights for women's basketball. She loves Iowa. Again, she's an Iowa native. She played at Northern Iowa. So she's home. And to be there 24 years and to see the sport grow as much as it has, but also she's the one, right, who's leading this charge and who has so adeptly handled all of the attention for her program. Obviously, she's looking to win a title. That's the ultimate goal. But to have her players take the spotlight the way that they have, and she roots for them. I mean, she teaches them, she trains them. She's got a great relationship with Caitlin Clark, but you know, she's allowing them to be the ambassadors for the sport. So cool to talk to her. And that interview conversation, we'll call it a conversation, that conversation will be podcasted separately, as will D.A. Houston of Longwood Lancer Basketball. And then if you missed it, Jerry Palm here in studio in the first hour before he collapsed after his bracketology and breaking down what we saw with the selection reveal. If you want to participate in the After Hours Bracket Challenge, you can find that on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. I did retweet. You put it on Facebook? It's also pinned at the top of our Facebook page, so you can find it there as well. You got a couple of days. You do not have to worry about picking the first four. And this is the first year that the women's bracket will also have a first four. So those games are given to you, but you need to have your bracket saved by Thursday when the games tip off. So that's your deadline. This is going to be fun. We're looking forward to it, even though there is NFL right in the middle of it. But did you know that there are some teams who declined to be involved in postseason basketball? We'll explain coming up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
More upsets than I've seen in quite some time, you know, whether it was Colorado, whether it was FAU, whether it was NC State, North Carolina matchup, every possible Oregon winning hurt us.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Rick Pitino understands the climate in college basketball. Chaos. Let's hope we see more of that in March Madness to the detriment of our brackets. But there's a lot of consternation for Rick Pitino of St. John's, as well as a couple of other teams that feel like they have beefs. Seton Hall, Providence, three 20-win teams that were snubbed, quote-unquote, by the NCAA selection committee. And Rick Pitino's Red Storm may have had the biggest beef. 20 wins, winning six games in a row, most of those by double figures, before losing to UConn in the Big East tournament semifinals on Friday. Now, there are a lot of numbers I could throw at you, but the Basketball Power Index, it's a conglomerate of different numbers that the committee looks at to measure teams that does not take into account what conference they play for. It's supposed to be an unbiased number that ranks all the teams in men's college basketball in Division I. Well, this BPI, and then another gauge they call the net, which replaced RPI a few years ago, the BPI was 24th, best of any squad that did not make the field of 68. So in the top 25, that BPI, that Basketball Power Index, and also a net ranking of 32nd in the country, which was the second best among the teams to win or to miss the tournament, to feel like they'd won enough and done enough to get in, but instead are left out. Now, Indiana State, another name that I'm sure you heard if you were paying attention to bracketology or the selection shows. By the way, that's Larry Bird's alma mater. The Indiana State Sycamores, they also felt like they had a beef. If you're wondering about the last four in, Boise State, Colorado, Virginia, Colorado State. And when we talked to Jerry Palm in studio earlier, he said, I have no idea why Virginia's in. That's the committee's mistake. First four out, Seton Hall, Oklahoma, Indiana State, and Pitt. St. John's isn't even among the first four out. And so there's another kind of head scratcher. Why would the Red Storm not make it and not even be among the first four out when Seton Hall was? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Rick Pitino goes on to blast the net.
I think we all should probably never mention that word again because I think it's fraudulent. You know, my son was 25 in the net and he was saying he wasn't in with 25 wins. So I think the net's something that shouldn't even be mentioned anymore.
If you're wondering, and I didn't know all the numbers, so I had to look it up, but according to the NCAA website. The net is a conglomeration of winning percentage, game results, strength of schedule, game location, net offensive and defensive efficiency, and the quality of the wins and the losses. So it's an extensive formula that brings together all these various factors. And again, it's supposed to be even more detailed than the RPI, which is something they got rid of. It's supposed to be a number that doesn't account for your conference or the size of the school, the campus. A way to rank the teams that is blind, so to speak. Now, Rick Pitino and St. John's have decided that they will not participate in the NIT. So the teams that are left out, the teams that are the next group, right, when it comes to net and BPI and wins and losses and all that jazz, decided that they will not participate. They're going to refrain from playing in any postseason basketball. And this bums me out. Not because they're entitled or not because I don't understand being snubbed, but because it shouldn't be about picking up your ball and going home, right? We didn't get what we wanted, so that's it. We're done. We're leaving the party. It feels a bit like a temper tantrum. Now, maybe if these coaches stand in front of a microphone or a TV camera and they say, this is because our kids have already missed too much school, blah, 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 blah. They're tired. They'd rather go on spring break, yada, yada, yada. Well, okay, at least I'd listen. But then my response would be, but if they made the NCAA tournament, you wouldn't sit that one out. So clearly you're not more concerned about the kids or whatever else they might have. In the emotion, in the frustration, the disappointment, the dejection of not making it, and you know what? Anger and frustration as well. Feeling like you'd done everything that you needed to do short of winning the automatic bid by winning your conference tournament. You decide in that emotion, well, screw you and your fake NCAA tournament. You're not going to put us on TV. You're not going to welcome us to another tournament because you don't deserve us, almost. But honestly, I feel like when the dust settles and the emotions calm down, especially for your seniors, it does count as a postseason tournament. It does count as postseason basketball. You get on national TV as well. You win the NIT, and it's fairly prestigious. It may not be the NCAA, but there's a lot of excitement about it. Your fans get to be part of it. But Pittsburgh and Oklahoma and St. John's all declined invites to the NIT in the wake of finding out they did not make the Field of 68. Gripes be damned. Again, we're not saying that you have no beef with the tournament committee. But what kind of message does that send to your team, incoming recruits, just young people in general? If it doesn't go the way we want it, well, that's it. We quit. We give up. We're going home. I think instead, you stand in front of your team and you say, you know what? This sucks. It hurts. After all our work, after all the blood, the sweat, the tears, it's not fair. Say that. But then you follow it up with the mature perspective of an adult who's got a lot of wisdom and experience. Guess what, guys? This is real life. It's not fair. Sometimes it does flat out suck. But it doesn't mean we quit. It doesn't mean we give up. It doesn't mean we're too cool to play in the NIT. It means this wasn't the ultimate goal, but we still get to be together as a team. We still get to travel if you, you know, play through a couple of games at your own place. We get to put on a show for our fans. We get to extend this season a little bit longer. And we're still going to play for some hardware. And if we get far enough, we're going to be on national TV. But forget all of those things. How about we get to keep playing where a lot of teams are done? I feel like that's such a valuable lesson to learn. It's such a valuable lesson that they won't forget. It doesn't always go your way. But that doesn't mean it can't be special. That doesn't mean it can't be worth the effort. I'm kind of stunned by this. Again, in the throes of emotion, in the midst of frustration and anger, you're right. You're probably right. You should be in the tournament. But you're not. And so figure out a way to make it a positive, to make it a life lesson, to give your kids a few more opportunities. How about this? We're going to prove to the basketball world and the selection committee that we deserve to be there. And maybe you're into the NIT Final Four and still playing when these other schools that got in ahead of you have already gone home. If nothing else, play because you love it. Play because you'll have joy. Especially for the seniors. So I don't love this. I would never, if I was a coach, I would never tell them it's okay to quit because you didn't get what you wanted. Instead, I would say it's an opportunity for us to show everyone. We're going to showcase our skills and our program. We're going to show them. Next time they think about leaving our school out, better think twice. And there's so many ways that you can spin this and so many ways that you can showcase it. Instead, it feels like a bit of a temper tantrum. And again, there may be other reasons, but I don't think so. We'll see if we get any more info, if we get any more reason behind this decision. And yeah, it's not just St. John's. It's also Oklahoma and Pittsburgh who've said, thanks, but no thanks. We're too good for your tournament. And even if that's not what they said, that's what it seems like. That's what it feels like. That's how it's going to be billed. I know Rick Pitino wanted to lead another team to the NCAA tournament, but I'm honestly stunned by his response to being snubbed.
You got to say that the committee did the best job they could. You know, we weren't considered, but we've had a lot of firsts this year. We've had a lot of people that really, really enjoyed watching us play, and we move on.
Right, so move on. Accept the NIT bid and continue to put your school and your students out there. I honestly can't think of one good reason to not participate in the NIT. I really can't. If you all have some good reasons or reasons why you support this decision by these three schools, I'd love to hear from you. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Maybe it's about experience and preparing this team for a run to the NCAA tournament next year. I just hate the message it sends. 855-212-4227. Good to have you with us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
I never make excuses. I respect the committee for what they do. They give their time. They give their energy to it. They didn't think that we measured up to their standards, and we'll take it very positively like men and move forward. We're not going to gripe. We're not going to say we got screwed. None of that helps.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I agree with those sentiments by Rick Pitino, but I don't understand the reasoning behind not playing in the NIT. No, it's not the NCAA tournament. It's not. It doesn't have the same prestige. It doesn't have the same attention. It certainly doesn't have that same buzz around it. But it's still basketball. And if you get to the Final Four of the NIT, which you would think St. John's, being as good as they are, that they'd have a real good shot for that. You get to play on national TV again. You could cut down nets. You could be in the spotlight. But even if none of that is part of the equation for the NIT, and it feels like a distant second place, it's still an opportunity for your team to, again, potentially travel. It's an opportunity for your younger players to taste the postseason, and it's a chance for your older players to get a couple more games under their belt. I see no harm in it whatsoever. And honestly, I think it's a good way to motivate, to prove to people that you're better than what the committee said you were and that you deserve to be there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Mike, who's in Philadelphia. Mike, what do you think?
Amy, you American woman, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
I couldn't agree with you more. These athletic directors and these coaches need to be running the programs, get some cooth, get some class, and say, look, we're going, okay? We didn't have a good enough year to get in the NCAA. Tough. There's teams that go to bowl games in football with 6-6 records. You're supposed to be playing ball. You know what I mean? So if you're bitter or you're just out of spite, you're thumbing your nose at it, unacceptable.
Yeah, I would be interested to hear if there is any other reason, because it feels like that's the reason, right? You, especially when you make that decision, and I know you have to because you get the NIT invites pretty quickly, but you make that decision in the wake of the snub, it does feel like you're saying to your kids, well, that's not what we wanted. It's not good enough. It's not the ultimate goal. So we're going to quit and we're not going to play anymore.
Well, I have a huge question for you as you're a sports fanatic. What happened to the basketball in the Northeast? Back in the day, you had St. John's, Providence, Seton Hall, Georgetown, the Big Five. There's nobody represented in the tournament. Is where are the kids going? Is it coaching? Are the kids just going south or out west? What do you think?
Well, you do have some of those programs that were on the bubble, and St. John's did have a 20-win season. And so for Rick Pitino, maybe he's building something there, right? And Alex English, I know, too, for Providence, he had some choice words that we can even use on the show to talk about the selection committee and the analytics and the way that they were applied. So these are teams that are on the rise or maybe on the way back up. But yeah, Georgetown's a tough one, right, because it's got such an incredible basketball tradition. John Thompson III was there for a while. They had to make that change. I think a lot of it's about change. A lot of it's about trying to compete. And remember, the conference has changed multiple times as well, but it's about trying to stay relevant in what is an ever-changing landscape with transfer portal, where schools can really poach your kids off of this transfer portal. And a lot of coaches, a lot of conferences are just trying to get used to the changing landscape where kids, it may not be labeled pay for play, but kids, the best of the best, and even some that maybe have delusions of grandeur, they're only going or considering schools where they're going to get paid. And so it's just a different atmosphere now. And yeah, I can understand why a lot of schools that are more traditional are having trouble finding and keeping their footing.
Enjoy your show. You start my day. I always want you to know that.
All right. Thanks, Mike. It's good to talk to you in Philadelphia. 855-212-4227. Alex English. Wait, Jay, what did you say?
It's labeled in here as Kim English, but yeah, I don't know why. But
oh, it might be. Maybe I'm thinking, because Alex English was a great NBA player. That, is, I'm sure, is my fault. Forgive me for that. But yeah, so the...
Kim,
thank you. So the challenge of this now is to take your disappointment and kind of move forward. And Coach English, Kim English, was looking to lead Providence to the NCAA tournament. His first season with the Friars, they had 21 wins, so they were 21-13. They fall short. They're outside the top 50 in the net rankings, but they had wins over Marquette and over Creighton twice, and one of those came in the Big East tournament. And so the analytics that formed the net and the BPI, Coach English not having it.
Yeah, I think the analytics are right? I think you could schedule bad teams in your non-league and beat the snot out of them and beat them by 50 and 60. And I think coaching for so long has been a gentleman agreement.
He goes on to say about the gentleman's agreement, you have a large lead at the end of a game. You take your guys out. You don't pad your lead or run up the score type of thing. And maybe that's something we need to do in order to capture the attention of the committee. Now, margin of victory is not supposed to be considered, and it's a complicated formula. But to counter what Kim English is saying, you had a team in Iowa State that was dropped from the one line to the two line, and actually, theoretically, is supposed to be the worst of the two. So the number eight team overall in the entire field gets put in with UConn in that same East region, in large part because there weren't the quality non-conference games. So there's got to be a balance. And what Coach English is saying is, hey, we scheduled some really tough teams. That non-conference slate, we ended up losing those. Instead, we could schedule cream puffs. We could beat them by 50 or 60. If that's what we wanted to do, run up the score, make a big splash, be all showy about it. But that's not how we chose to do it. And so he says, yeah, when you get into this league, meaning the Big East, some of your analytics don't look as good because the league is so challenging. You're playing against some really, really good coaches, like Connecticut, of course. And after UConn, and this is just my side point, not to continue Coach English, but obviously frustrated, only two other Big East teams made the field, Marquette and Creighton. But Providence had victories over both of them. Yeah, so this is the conference breakdown. The Big 12 and the SEC, eight teams each. The Big 10, the Mountain West with a half dozen. In fact, that's the most ever for the Mountain West. The ACC, five. The Pac-12, four. The Big East, three. But what I really want to know is, would you snub the NIT if you didn't get what you wanted with the NCAA? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!